We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's April 11th, it is 2023. We have 10 baseball games to talk about here on today's podcast, joined by my buddy Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much, man. It's baseball is now the star of the show. We're past the NBA regular season, so very happy to get in and get into the daily grind of baseball. That's my favorite time of the year. I love just soaking in all the baseball, watching what's going on around the league. We've got a good night going on Monday night. Texas just kind of exploded right before we jumped on the podcast here. Offense was kind of quiet until an Adolis Garcia grand slam. So interesting to see how that plays out. Coors was looking pretty shaky for a while. It's picked up a little bit. We'll see. We're into the bullpens now. So excited to see how Monday night plays out and cannot wait to break down this Tuesday slate.
Yeah, I mean, interesting Monday slate. I mean, it's way too early to say, like, if it's going to be good for me or bad for me.
Lots of Angels ownership still coming, right?
Lot of Angels ownership. And, like, I'm very – I went – three of my four teams has Urias. So I want to – I mean, it really just kind of depends on how he pitches as well. So very high on Elder, very high on Urias, very high on Castillo. Castillo didn't work out. So we'll see what happens, but – anyway, I do have a question for you before we get rolling here. Okay. Kevin Roth calls you the Iceman. I'm so curious how that nickname came about.
So Ice was always like the shortened version of my last name. Iceman, like, I have relatives that have been called that, but that's never really been like my thing. But Ice, or shortened to Ice, was kind of like playing sports. It was always like, what's up, Ice? Like, I was going, like, ice was the nickname back in like the high school sports days.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like a Kevin Roth created nickname or not.
So it wasn't like out in the public, but one of the first shows Roth and I did together, he was like, you've got to do something better than Keith. Like, come on, we need Keith, something better than Keith. So then that's when I brought up that people used to call me Ice, and he's like, oh, that's way better. And he has ran with it and never looked back. Yeah, it is also, it's also my screen name too, Ice819. So Like, yeah, it was there for the taking, but it was never like any RG shows I did before Roth, it was never brought up. And then, yeah, Roth definitely brought that out into the public.
All right, I was curious. I was on Grinders Live before you guys today, and like, I was like, what the heck is he saying? So, listen, I was just curious more than anything else. But all right, we got 10 baseball games. No more messing around. I can't do a Dean. I can't nonchalantly talk about something for 40 minutes and then try to talk about baseball for the next 20. All joking, I hope Dean is feeling better. He wasn't feeling good on Grinders Live today. So hopefully my buddy is feeling better. Let's jump into it. We got Detroit at Toronto to get us started here. Manning against Manoah. This game has an 8.5 total. The Blue Jays, a 275 favorite. Any interest here in Matt Manning?
No interest in Manning. Tough Toronto lineup. Strikeouts are just not quite there for him. It was a really good prospect coming up, but guy just has not figured it out. There's some mispriced pitching on this slate. I don't think I'm going down to Manning against this tough Toronto lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the first mispriced guy is right on the other side of this game. Yep. Alek Manoah, 7,700, going up against the one of the worst offenses in baseball with Detroit. So I'm assuming when you say that, that's one of the spots you think that is very underpriced.
Yes, definitely. Last year, attacking Detroit with right-handed starting pitching was probably the most profitable thing all year long. Manoah, generally a better real-life pitcher than a DFS pitcher, but oftentimes we see his price tag up in like the 9K range. He's 7,700 against one of the worst offenses in baseball. I don't know what DraftKings is doing. There's another guy that I think is egregiously mispriced, kind of in the same range too, that we're going to get to. Like Manoah is probably not going to go out there and get you 9 or 10 strikeouts, but he's going to go 6-7 innings, especially against this Detroit team that's really aggressive. They don't take walks. I mean, if it weren't for for Pablo Lopez, I'll just put the name out there because he's egregiously priced and he's been awesome. But like Manoah would be massive chalk. It might just be chalk to build with two pitchers in the 7K range on this slate. Like Detroit's been a little bit better this year, but Manoah is still a smash. Like he's a far better pitcher than Detroit is a hitting team. I don't care that he's not like a 30% strikeout guy. Give me 6 or 7 Ks over 7 innings, and that's a smash at 7,700 for sure.
I'm just going to go out and say I would not build with two guys under 8K today. There's some really great high-end pitching options on the slate, but Lopez is underpriced. So I think it really, for me, Manoah is, I think, a fantastic play. I mean, this guy, we saw a little bit of issues here to start the season. Lot better in his second start against Kansas City. That St. Louis team is really tough, but I mean, his strikeout and swinging strike rate, the swinging strike rate is up kind of where he was at, you know, in 2021 and 2022. So I'm not too concerned about his strikeout rate being 17% instead of 23% to 25%. I think this is a spot we see him, I mean, go out and have a really good game. I mean, if he pitches anywhere, like he pitched against Kansas City, puts up close to 30 fantasy points in this spot. So fantastic spot from Manoah. Any interest in the Detroit bats at all?
No, none. Like I said, Manoah is a great real life pitcher. Like the control was spotty in his last start, but like he's generally a pretty good control pitcher. Keeps the ball on the ground a lot, gets a lot of soft contact, and Detroit's just not very talented. No interest.
All right, going to the Toronto side. I mean, Manning's not a bad pitcher. I don't know if I'd want to classify him as a bad pitcher. He's young, and we still have a lot to kind of make of him. I mean, he is a pretty high when it comes to like prospect, good fastball. His breaking ball stuff, I mean, I think is going to be this thing that like really sets him back. He needs some breaking ball stuff. I don't think I want to play him in this spot. He is better against, or I mean, I already said I don't really want to play him in this spot, but he is better against righties. I think like this could be a spot you don't play Manning and you don't play Toronto bats at their prices. But the flip side of that is like Toronto can break any slate. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, similar. It's lukewarm because Manning does do a decent job of of managing contact. It's the strikeouts that never showed up. Like, he struck out a ton of guys in Double A and Triple A, just all coming up through the minors. That's why he was one of the best pitching prospects in baseball at a point. But that hasn't translated. So I think there's a chance that Toronto could absolutely get to him. They obviously have a very deep, very powerful lineup. They're expensive, though. And like I said, Manning is like, it just does a decent job of managing contact. So probably more of a three-man stack for me than like five-man stacking Toronto. But you can certainly look for a home run or two here. Vlad is coming off a down year last year. I think he's kind of on a mission to make up for last year. So I'm always going to be interested in Vlad, especially in the early going here. Bichette, Springer are fine, but all those guys are over 5K. Varsho would probably be my second favorite after Vlad. Kirk fills the catcher position, or if it's Jansen, I'm fine with him at 3,300 too. But like I said, it's more of a three-man for me for Toronto than a full stack.
Yeah, I mean, just target the power, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, I will like throw a little caution at the wind when it comes to Manning. Like, he seems like he's going to give up splits-wise. He seems like he's going to be a lot better against righties than lefties. Looking at like his advanced numbers, it looks like he's going to have really solid stuff for righties. And like, that's just my problem when like trying to find guys. Maybe I won off like Varsho here. Maybe, I mean, that's my where it might be where I like end up. So all right, San Diego at New York facing the Mets. We have a 8-9 total. I almost read that wrong. 9 total. The Mets are a 148 favorite. Weathers and Peterson. Marte banged up, was not back in the lineup on Monday. We'll see if he's back here or not. We'll go Weathers first. I mean, actually, like, not the worst outing in the world. His first start up, like, he had an okay start, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, a walk, 90 pitches. Like, I mean, this is typically a guy that I want to target. He doesn't grade out to be an above average pitcher yet. Do you have any interest in playing him here against the Mets?
No interest in playing him. It's the stuff is still just not quite translating. He still only had 2 strikeouts. He was better than expected. That start against Arizona, I played a lot of Arizona bats, and he was just kind of okay. He was a first-round pick, if I recall correctly. Like, there's some pedigree here for Weathers. It's just taking him a little bit longer to figure it out, but there's no chance I'm playing him against the Mets here.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at. I want to see this stuff translate. And like you said, it really hasn't. And we see this like sometimes, like it takes some time sometimes, and sometimes like guys just click and they're amazing. But I mean, last year we only saw
lefties have a really tough time figuring out mechanics too, which is what Weathers is. So that could be playing a bit of a role in why it's taken him so long to figure it out.
Well, what I thought was interesting, like, you know, you mentioned like he was a first round pick. Like, if I remember correctly, coming into last season, I try to follow my prospects and I try to do my due diligence with that. I'm almost positive he was a top 100 arm last year, top 100 prospect. And he's not in that, like, yeah, he's not in that list this year. So I don't know. You know, maybe they're taking a step back on where they think he's going to go, or he's just, like you said, just not progressing well. I don't think I want to play him in this spot. The Mets, they don't strike out. I mean, it's really tough to play them. We saw, they didn't really like beat Darvish, but they beat Darvish. I mean, if that makes any kind of sense. And I think Darvish at the end of the day is a better pitcher than Weathers. What did Darvish, he ended up with like 5 strikeouts, 5 earned runs. Like, they just beat him. The other side of this game, we got Peterson on the hill. Any interest in Peterson here?
Not against San Diego and not on this slate. You talked about a couple of top-end pitchers we're absolutely going to want to target. We've talked about one 7K pitcher. We already know. Well, really, we've mentioned both of the 7K pitchers. I don't think you need to take chances on Peterson against San Diego. If it was a different matchup, I like the pitcher. I think there's upside, but not going to be the slate for me for Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was good to see like Scherzer have a good start. It wasn't fantastic, but it was good. Still, I mean, I feel like Scherzer's still struggling a little bit with his command. I don't want to play Peterson. San Diego, a much higher strikeout rate against right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching. I mean, they're going to leave some of these lefties in there, but they're also going to platoon some guys out. So I don't think this is a spot you want to play Peterson. I will say the fact that he is going to get, you know, two to three lefties here. He is a 33% K rate guy to lefties. I just don't think this is the right slate. Let's talk bats. San Diego against Peterson. Any interest here for them?
Some, but again, another expensive team. And if you're not going to build with low range pitchers, and I agree with your statement, like we have some real upside, and they're probably underpriced too, which we'll get to. But like Nelly Cruz broke out. We haven't seen a big game from him in a while, so that was nice to see. But now his price is up to 4,600. Like, I think he's fine as a one-off. I also don't think he has the same like 40 homer power that he had even 2 or 3 years ago. Bogarts is 5,300, Machado's 5,800, Soto's lefty lefty and 6K. I don't like the pricing on San Diego here. They're a very talented offense, but I don't see anyone really other than Kim at 2,700 who's maybe underpriced. Like if Cruz's price was cheaper, I'd have a ton of interest as a one-off. But with this pricing, I'm probably just skipping San Diego bats on this one.
Yeah, I mean, he could potentially look at like a bottom end stack here with like a Kim. Ozakar is someone that probably bats eighth or ninth here. We saw him last year, though. He really struggled with left-handed pitching. So maybe that's not a guy that you want. Machado for sure. Like if you're three-manning this team, Machado has to be at the top of your list. It's whether or not you go Machado Soto or Machado Xander Bogarts. And I think like Kim is just going to have to be like that third piece because of the price and to make the three-man stack like doable price-wise. Mets side, man, I want to target Weathers here. I hate the ballpark. And, you know, one of the reasons that I don't want to full stack San Diego either is I don't love the ballpark. It's a really tough ballpark for hitters. But, I mean, Weathers is, I feel like he's such a guy you want to target. Like, Pete Alonso, he's 6,100. And I feel like he's going to be lower owned on this slate just because of what we have on this slate as far as bats. And his price. But like the flip side of that is like, if you're playing like a little three man here with the Mets, the rest of the potential three man stack is somewhat cheap. So, I mean, I definitely don't mind getting Alonso and then looking at, you know, guys like, didn't LeCastro get called up? Like he could potentially be in the lineup here at 2K. And we saw him last year in a very small sample size. He hit left-handed pitching pretty well. So, I mean, there's going to be some cheap pieces here to build around Alonso. Mark Canha, what is he? He's like 36, right? Yeah, so, I mean, there's going to be some cheap pieces to build around Pete Alonso here.
Yeah, Pete Alonso is the real target. Any time you get Pete Alonso against a lefty, especially a low strikeout lefty like Weathers, it's all systems go. The price tag is a little worrisome. So, rather than one-offing them, I do like the three-man idea. I love the Canha call, 3,600. Pham, 3,700 is fine. I'm interested in the catching situation. If Francisco Alvarez happens to crack the lineup, he is like the best prospect in baseball. Top three by any metric, any system you're looking at. Francisco Alvarez is going to hit in this league. He's 2,400. Fills a catcher position. I like even a two-man of Alvarez and Pete Alonso, I can get behind. I'm not full stacking here just because of the pricing. Like Lindor is priced up, like Nimmo's lefty-lefty and 4,600. McNeil, no thanks. But I want some exposure to Pete Alonso. If Marte were to make it back, he's overpriced too. But I want exposure to Alonso, and I'm looking for other pieces. I think looking for value, like Francisco Alvarez is probably my favorite option.
They also have Pham, who could potentially hit towards the top of the order if Marte's out. I feel like I know why they're playing Nitto over
it's for defense.
Over Alvarez, like the defense. Yeah. So, but like with the new rules in baseball, man, like you're DHing. So like I feel like if Vogelbach lefty-lefty, maybe they DH Alvarez in this spot and you get some at-bats that way. So
that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean this I could see him like in the lineup hitting fifth. And then you could go like Alonso, Alvarez, Canha. And I mean that's a solid little three man, even in the ballpark. All right, Cincinnati at Atlanta. This game does not have a total. It's assumed that Kyle Wright is going to be activated and pitch in this game. Everything I've read is he's on track to pitch here. And then Sessa is going to pitch for Cincinnati. We'll go to Sessa first. We've seen the Braves with some strikeout ability here to start the season, and I don't think I can do it. I still don't see myself doing it here.
Yeah. We shout out to Justin Carlucci. He had the ladder on Scores and Odds. If you guys aren't signed up for Scores and Odds, like, you're just doing it wrong. There's so much great information over there. I heard you talking about him on Grinders Live as well.
About him because I did a deep dive because I saw Lucha's write-up. And I was like, what the heck? And I looked into it more, and I was like, man, they, like, everyone on the Braves had like a 35 to 40% whiff rate against cutters. And then four or five of them had like a 250 plus ISO. So I was like, man, this is boom bust spot if I've ever seen one. So it was a great call.
He was right in the same price with Elder. Elder ended up dominating as well, so it did not matter. But the pivot to Ashcraft was absolutely amazing if you were playing tournaments on Monday night. Luis Sessa is not Graham Ashcraft. I think he gets blown up here.
Hunter Renfro, love the Braves, the home run. Sorry, gotta give my boy Hunter Renfro a little small clap there. That's a nice home run. That's worth a small clap.
Absolutely.
I interrupted you like four times there.
No,
for
no
you
interest.
Just say that Sessa's not on play.
Correct. Moving on.
All right. I'm sorry. I'll try not to interrupt you. All right. Kyle Wright coming here, going to throw his first game technically of the season. He made a rehab start in AAA last week. He did not pitch well in that rehab start, but he was at 84 pitches. Cincinnati is the lineup. I mean, one of the reasons that Elder was so much in play yesterday, took a huge 180 on him from the podcast to Grinders Live and premium content. I underestimated just how bad the Cincinnati lineup is. At the end of the
day, I'm interrupting you now. I played way too much Cincinnati on Monday night.
I was the opposite. Elder is not a bad pitcher. He just hasn't translated into the majors yet. And just looking at how bad the Cincinnati lineup was, I was like, man, this is almost a AAA lineup. Maybe he can pitch as well as he did in AAA. But I mean, what are we doing here with Kyle Wright? Did they just price him out of play on DraftKings here at 9,300? I mean, my initial thought was okay, I might have some interest, but looking at his price, it's how the heck do I pay 9,200 for a guy that got shelled in his rehab start? And he's 9,100 on FanDuel on a one pitcher site. So I love the matchup. I think Kyle Wright is very talented. He's very good against righties. I think they priced him out on both sides.
I completely agree with you. When I saw Kyle Wright was making the start, when I started researching, I was very interested. And then I saw the price, and it's there's no way. Because of the other two aces that are underpriced, Wright is 1,000 overpriced. 84 pitches was really nice to see. But even in a great matchup, and we know he's getting probably 90 plus, right around 90 pitches in this spot, he should be 8,500, 8,600 maybe. 9,300 is too much to pay. I have something written down for later. I'm very heavily interested in where Kyle Wright's strikeout prop opens, because if they open him at 3.5 or 4.5, I'm hammering the over on that. But I just don't think you can play him in DFS at this price.
I mean, one struggle inning and you're hurting. Yeah. If he's 8K, this discussion is so much different. If he's 8K, if they incentivize us to take the chance on him, then it's just such a, I don't want to play Cincinnati bats, but on the flip side, if he struggled that much in a rehab start, it was a shoulder injury for Kyle Wright. This isn't a finger, a hamstring, it was a shoulder injury. So if he struggled that much in his rehab start, I think we have to at least say, maybe we're taking some Cincinnati bats in this spot. I don't know. I'm on the fence on like right. Like his price just kind of throws me off. And then the Cincinnati bats, I mean, this lineup's just not good. But there's like a three man here, right? It's the three lefties that we talked about on the podcast yesterday. It's Friedl, it's Fraley, it's Vossler. You know, the only downside is like potentially using all three outfield spots for a three man. So like maybe I just don't play Cincinnati because I really don't think I want to play Vossler at first base. We have some really good options today.
Yeah, they burned me on Monday night. I have probably 20% of that three man on Monday night, and it just they didn't do anything.
They had opportunities too, man.
Yeah. Fraley smoked one that it just hung up a little bit too much, and like it wasn't going out or anything, but it was ticketed for the gap. Just didn't quite get down, but even so, like probably weren't getting there. Elder was better than I expected him to be. Kudos to him. Kyle Wright is a better pitcher than Elder. I don't know if he's perfectly healthy in this start. I don't know how much of a leash he's going to have, but seeing 84 pitches from Kyle Wright, I think he's more talented than Elder. So I think he can have a lot of success in this spot. I'm probably not going to stack against him. And Cincinnati's prices are just, they're still out of whack. That's part of why I liked it. Like I knew nobody was playing Fraley at 5K on Monday night slate. He got a $500 decrease. Still nobody's playing him. But I think I tried that. It didn't quite work out. I'm probably off of Cincinnati here.
Ursula with the double for everybody that swapped from Rendon to Ursula. You get the RBI double.
If you're winning money on Monday night, be careful because these Angels are coming.
Yeah. For anybody that like swapped from Renfro to Rignifo or Ursula, I'm assuming that's what most people swapped. I know on FanDuel I swapped to Longoria. So yeah, I mean, either Jesse, one of those guys that you swapped to off to a solid start here.
Very nice. I have a lot more Rignifo than I started with because of the Rendon scratch. Jesse and Chad also just said that Kyle Wright is confirmed. So there was definitely speculation on that. So Atlanta beat right. I heard he was with the team before we jumped on, but officially confirmed according to Jesse and Chad.
Sweet. Yeah, everything I had read said he was going to. I mean, and like with Fried out and what is it, Dodd, who's been struggling? I mean, all Elder like did was like he kind of maybe earned a rotation spot until Fried got back with his, you know, back-to-back solid outings here. So all right, Atlanta bats against Sessa. Sessa's a low strikeout guy, 16.9%, 5x FIP type of guy. I already looked, he doesn't throw a cutter, so we don't have to worry about that. he relies a lot on his slider fastball combination. He's not a big strikeout guy against Atlanta. Seems worrisome to me. I think Atlanta stacked very much in play today.
Yeah, completely agree. This lineup is just so good. They're always in play. Even though I liked Ashcraft a ton yesterday, like we talked about, I still played some Atlanta stacks because they're just so talented. They're expensive, but you do have the 7K options. Like you can still go 9K pitcher, 7K pitcher and make this Atlanta stack work. You might have to leave out like an Albies or an Olson, but very much in play. Good hitters park, better when it gets warmer, but still a good hitters park here. Sessa is fly ball lean, low strikeout, like you mentioned, and really not stretched out. Like he's probably going 80, 85 pitches, and the Cincinnati bullpen is nothing to be afraid of either. So this is a great spot for the Atlanta bats, worth paying up for, in my opinion.
Yeah. What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone is having a fantastic Monday night. Just wanted to say that. I know a lot of people are saying what's up, and we always appreciate everyone hanging out with us. Jesse dropping some knowledge here with the confirmed Kyle Wright news. So yeah, I mean, just a shout out to that. Really quick, we had someone, I don't remember if it was Grinders Live or if it was a comment on the podcast or on YouTube or in the chat yesterday. They wanted us to talk bullpens. Really quick, this is just bottom five coming into the season: Oakland, terrible. Los Angeles Angels, Tigers, Pirates, Rockies. Reds are right after that. They're 20. They were like the sixth worst projected bullpen. Rangers 23rd too. So, going back to the conversation yesterday. So
it's just funny. I wasn't on the pod yesterday, obviously. I didn't catch the conversation, but I was digging into that today. And Oakland is like historically bad at this point. Obviously, that's not going to continue, but like they're way worse than anyone else.
Yeah. So, it's like a point system rankings for the site that I use. They're like way down there. So, all right. We're cruising along. We got the White Sox at Minnesota taking on the Twins. I know this is a game that, we're wanting to kind of talk about. This game is an 8 total. Twins are 148 favorites. Lance Lynn, Pablo Lopez. We'll go Lance Lynn first here. I thought Lance Lynn was going to come out and have a really solid game against the Giants, and he just does not look good to start the season. I'm a little concerned. What are your thoughts on Lance Lynn?
I'm concerned as well. Didn't look great in the WBC. I don't know if that just affected his rhythm, but very slow start for him. He's also not getting any younger. I think he's found an awesome groove late in his career here where he has a pitch mix that works, and he just has been okay, like a really solid, very durable pitcher for the last several years. But I'm concerned about him early on in this season. Like, he handled Houston okay, but that last one, after his struggles in the WBC, I thought maybe he had gotten back on track after his first start against Houston. I'm concerned again now that I've seen him struggle against San Francisco. I will say San Francisco is extremely left-handed, which has been a bugaboo of Lance Lynn's career the entire time through. And I'm not sure exactly how many lefties Minnesota is going to be able to throw at him. Like, if they come out with an extremely right-handed heavy lineup, maybe I have more interest. But again, this is like the Kyle Wright conversation. Like, 9K, I'd rather play the guys that are 7-3 and 7-7 before I go up to Lance Lynn at 9K. And if I'm trying to get to 9K, I can probably get to 9,900, which we know there's guys that we want to play up there. He's at a really tough price point. He's struggling early in the season. I don't see a reason to do it on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, so many great points there. The price, one, two, the matchup's not fantastic. They have four or five lefties potentially, and like, we really want Lynn to face like a 6-7 right-handed heavy lineup type of lineup. So, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you real quick because I looked into it, because I really thought we were going to see a much better start from Lance Lynn last time out. It was his lowest velocity on average since July 20th of 2017. So it dipped a mile and a half lower than his opening day start. So to say I'm concerned is definitely a thing, because if he's going to go out and throw fastballs 50 to 55% of the time and they're going to average 91 miles an hour, he's going to get crushed in major leagues. So I'm concerned.
And yeah, you mentioned fastballs, but then he throws variations of the fastball, like a sinker and a cutter. Like those are very velocity dependent as well. So very concerned for Lance Lynn.
His cutter was 1.6 miles an hour on average slower. Yeah. Like, it's just his whole pitch, like he throws it's like all four different. It's just, it was all down 1.5 to 2.2 from his first start. So, I mean, is that fatigue? Is that not being fully stretched out and them trying to stretch him out? It's 5 days again. Like, this is like another spot where I don't know. I can say with certainty I'm probably not playing Lance Lynn today. I think that I'm not really touching this range in general. I mean, you can make an argument maybe for May or Burns, but I mean, Ohtani and DeGrom, I feel like, are underpriced for what they are. And you can just play those guys with some of these cheaper guys that we have, and you don't have to mess with this range. But that also means this range might be a little bit lower owned. But I don't think Lance Lynn would be the guy for me. I think Burns or May have more strikeout upside in general, so I'm leaning on those guys more anyway. All right, Pablo Lopez, other side of this game. What's not to like about Lopez here?
Absolutely nothing. I think he is at least $1,000 underpriced. Dude has come out and been awesome since his transition to Minnesota. I thought he was a really talented pitcher in Miami. Like, I love the pitch mix. He's got 95 on the fastball. He throws an excellent changeup. He just had a bad year last year, and I think Minnesota made a very savvy move in acquiring him. Like, they gave up a decent player in Arias, but, like, I don't know. He's not going to hit any for any power. He's obviously a fantastic contact hitter. But I really liked the acquisition of Pablo Lopez. It's bearing fruit earlier. He's been awesome in his first two starts. This Chicago lineup is, again, dealing with injuries. Eloy Jimenez on the IL. Yoan Moncada missed last game, was scratched. Tim Anderson is now dealing with a little bit of something. He has a knee injury. Like, we saw this last year. The White Sox were expected to be, like, World Series contenders. And by middle of the season, like, they were a lineup we were picking on, especially with right-handed pitching. Pablo Lopez is a very talented pitcher. He's 7,300, and he's got 2 8-strikeout games in his first two starts. He's way too cheap for this matchup. Like, I absolutely love Pablo Lopez. There are three other pitchers I absolutely love and I think are underpriced on this slate, but Pablo Lopez needs to be in that conversation.
So we'll say this, right? The Chicago White Sox have started the season on fire against right-handed pitching. They have the lowest strikeout rate, or second lowest strikeout rate in baseball against right-handed pitching. They have the second best WRC plus in baseball against right-handed pitching. This is not that same lineup. Like you mentioned, Tim Anderson, highly doubt he plays in this game. It will be Moncada, I think, is a question mark. May or may not play. So we'll kind of see if he's in there or not.
Again, it's a back injury for Moncada. We've seen this in the past with Moncada. Like, it's just zapped his power. Same thing, Christian Yelich. Power not the same after a back injury. Moncada's been dealing with his back for years. He's not the same. He was an elite prospect when they acquired him for Chris Sale. He is no longer that guy. Like, we just keep that in mind. But, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely have interest in Pablo Lopez in this spot. I just wanted to throw it out there that, like, this lineup has not been striking out. They've been patient. But, again, I think this is a great spot for Pablo Lopez. There's not a lot of left-handed power in this lineup, and that's kind of what he struggles with. Yeah, I mean, great signing by Minnesota with Lopez here. Let's talk bats. Anything that you like here for the White Sox?
So I think you can still target some home runs. I don't love Benintendi as a one-off. Like, I'd rather play him in a stack. There's just not enough power there. Luis Robert has been really good to start the season. I think he is an elite talent. But I can't find a stack here. Lopez has good control. I don't see him getting blown up in this spot. It'd be a 3-man at most, and I'm struggling to find even three. Like, if Sheets is in the lineup, possibly, just as a cheap lefty bat with a little bit of pop. I don't really see myself getting to even the 3-man, but that's the only thing I'm even considering.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I don't think I do it. Like I said, they've been a really solid team to start the year, but I don't think this is the spot. Minnesota on the other side of this game. I mean, so I will say, like, Correa's banged up right now. Gallo's banged up right now. Max Kepler got put on the IL. Maybe I do have interest in Lance Lynn. If Lance Lynn's going to be like 5 to 10%, the potential lineup of the, like, it's not good. Like, I was like, I really didn't want to play Lance Lynn. And then I like looked at like what lineup they rolled out on Monday. And I'm like, oh man, this is not good. So I don't know. No.
All their lefties are hurt now that you mentioned that. I'm looking at the same thing. Like, no Kepler, yeah. No Gallo would be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they roll a lineup out with like 5, 6, 7 righties, I mean, my interest for Lynn might go up a little bit. Like, as of right now, I don't really have an interest in any of the bats. I mean, there's nothing like jumping off the page to me here.
Yeah, I mean, Larnach would be the only one. Don't love 4K. If he was 3,500, I'd have a lot of interest. I think he's in play as a one-off. Just like of the lefties that are remaining and should start, Larnach would be my guy, but it'd be a one-off, and that's about it.
All right, Keith, before we move on to the next game, you want to guess what Anthony Rendon's ownership was in the 121 single entry on DraftKings tonight?
I mean, 5% is a steal, so.
13.5%. If you guys don't have the Roto Grinders Alert app, you should get it.
That's
fantastic.
That's rake free, baby.
Yeah. Rake free tournament tonight.
Yep.
I mean, you can still cash with a zero, but I mean,
you can. Baseball is the one sport where it won't kill you, but you, like, if you would just pivot it to Rengifo and eat the money, that's a smash.
Yep. So if you don't have the Roto Grinders Alert app, get it. It's fantastic. Seattle at Chicago, taking on your Cubbies. No total in this game. So I'll look up the weather here in just a second. We got Flexen and Hayden Wyszynski. I would guess that's how he mentions his name. You're the Cub guy. You're going to tell me I'm wrong. But first, we're going to talk about Chris Flexen.
Yeah, low strikeouts. I don't know why there's not a total. Like Flexen's first start, I believe. I'll have to double check that. No, he's pitched, actually. Yeah, I have no idea why there's not a total in this game.
Because of Wrigley Wind. They hardly ever have totals up the night before. We got 13 to 16 miles an hour blowing out 71 degree weather tomorrow in Wrigley.
Chris Flexen is an extreme fly ball guy. I definitely am not playing him.
Yeah. I didn't want to play Flexen anyway, to be honest. So, yeah. All right. Tell me about one more time. Wyszynski. All right.
You can call him Wes Nasty if you prefer.
Oh gosh, is he good? I haven't looked this guy
up. His slider is filthy. He was disappointing in his first start. His spring was nasty. He was 93 to 95 last year. Velocity's been up to 97, 98 this year. As a homer Cubs fan, yeah, I think he's good. Am I playing him against Seattle with the wind blowing out at $7,800? Hell no. Absolutely not.
yeah, grades out as a top 100 prospect, above average slider. Okay.
And the velocity's up like 2 to 3 ticks this year. He's legit. He deserves to be a top 100 prospect. I'm very excited about him. This is not the spot for him, especially if the wind's blowing out.
Yeah, I mean, check the weather. Check the weather for sure. But as of right now, it looks like we're going to get pretty favorable hitting conditions in Wrigley. I mean, we saw him pitch a little bit last year, right? But wasn't it out of the bullpen? He didn't start last year, did he?
He did. He made about 4 or 5 starts last year, and the slider played up. It absolutely translated. The slider is like a 70 grade pitch. Like, if you're familiar with scouting scales, like 20 to 80, it's like a true 70 slider. It's a legit put away pitch. The problem is he was only like 93. So he's projecting it as like a fourth starter, but he's been up to like 97, 98 in the spring. So there's thoughts that he's taken a step forward in stuff. Like I said, he was disappointing in his first time out. It was against this terrible Cincinnati team that, like, we just saw Elder dominate.
Cincinnati, let's be fair.
It was in Cincinnati too, and he gave up a couple of home runs. He's gonna be a fly ball strikeout guy. Like he's not gonna put the ball on the ground a bunch. So yeah, it was a rough outing for him first time around. I think this is kind of that in that similar mold, though. Like, he's going to have home run problems early in his career. This is a spot where Seattle could get him for a couple of home runs. He doesn't have a super long leash, and he's overpriced. If he was 6,800, I'd have I would have more interest. 7,800 with Pablo Lopez right there, Alex Manoah right there. Like, those are just better pitchers at this point in their career. No reason to play Wesneski in DFS.
Yeah, but they're also going to have so much more ownership. Well, I need to check the wind in the morning, or I mean, kind of see what Weather Edge is saying about the wind, because there's strikeouts in this lineup. You know, Teoscar is a big strikeout guy. Suarez is a big strikeout guy. Those are like everyday players. So Julio Rodriguez is a fantastic hitter, one of the better hitters in baseball. He strikes out 25% of the time. So, I mean, I love spots like this. And, like, they're not that great against sliders. Like, they're actually really bad against sliders from what I'm looking at here. Like, I don't know, man. If the weather permits it, I might actually have a tournament shot or two on this kid. Because, like you said, his everything I'm reading now, shame on me for not knowing who this guy was. But he didn't even give up a lot of home runs last year. 33 innings, had a .82 home run per nine. Really good whip in the majors. Big-time strikeout stuff through the minors. So, I don't know. This is one of those spots where I hope, like, night before wind and Wrigley's wrong and we get like a crosswind or something, and we might be able to say, hey, I'm going to play DeGrom or Ohtani with this kid instead of Manoah, and then I can play whatever bats I want, kind of thing. So then it's a 1v1 pitcher situation. And I think, like, those are the things that, like, people just overlook sometimes.
I love that as far as a plan of attack in tournaments. That's exactly why I played Graham Ashcraft over Elder today on Monday night. Same exact thing that you just described. So if there's no wind blowing out, I'm much more interested, because I do believe in the stuff. I believe in the prospect. He's a little bit overpriced, but would it surprise me if he went out there and got 7 strikeouts over 5 or 6 clean innings? It would not.
The leverage, right? The leverage, yep, is what I'm looking at. The leverage, yep, potential is what I'm looking at. All right. Cubs bats. I mean, if we do get favorable weather here, I mean, Chris Flexen is – or no, Seattle bats, sorry. I always start with the visiting team. What's Seattle bats? If you're not playing him, would you take some shots on here?
I mean, Julio, you can play against anybody. If we've got wind blowing out, then this becomes – a pretty decent spot, in my opinion. I have no idea what ownership is going to look like. It depends on the weather report, obviously, but I'm targeting power here. Julio Rodriguez, Teoscar Hernandez, Eugenio Suarez. If Raleigh actually cracks the lineup when we want to play him, that would be fantastic. I'd say those are my top four options. I don't really have, like, I don't know what to do with AJ Pollock. I want to see it from him. Obviously, coming off a down year last year, I'd much rather play him against a lefty. If Kelenic was in the lineup, I'd have interest there. Young guy with some pop, but Julio, Suarez, France, probably the and Teoscar. Expensive, but worth it if the wind's blowing out.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that I think I'd have the most interest here if the weather is favorable is Suarez. I know it's righty-righty, but big fly ball hitter. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the home run if the wind is blowing out and it's favorable. You know, going to the other side of this game, Flexen's a low strikeout pitcher. That's a fly ball pitcher, like you mentioned. I mean, Chicago Cubs on paper, not going to look great. But, I mean, Chicago Cubs would be an excellent tournament stack here. You got Bellinger, you got Happ. Bellinger is a big fly ball guy. Wisdom, righty-righty, is a big fly ball guy. And we've seen some reverse split trends for Flexen. So, I mean, all these guys would be in play for me. I think the Cubs would be a fantastic stack if that weather is really a thing. I'm seeing 9.5 totals too. So, I mean, if it's a 9.5 total,
real. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah, like, Flexen is a big fly ball guy, but he, like, does a decent job of limiting damage, like, generally. So if you're seeing 9.5 total, that's a big total. So I think we are going to be dealing with a little bit of wind here. I love the wisdom call. The Cubs are priced up too. So even if the wind is blowing out, I'm not sure many people are playing them. Like, Swanson, Happ, and Wisdom were all over 5K. Nico Horner, 4,600. Bellinger's the guy that's going to get massive ownership, 3,400. If you get wind blowing out to center or right center, Bellinger's going to be extreme chalk, but I love the wisdom pivot. Even Hap is a great play. A guy that could crack the lineup that has massive power is Edwin Rios, 2,800. I would absolutely love great him call. As a pivot off of Bellinger. Mancini's got big power. He's 2,900. All these power hitters are going to be in play. If we got even 10 mile an hour winds out, and assuming that they're not like 20-25% owned.
All right, got my over Urias 5.5 strikeouts, so that's nice. Don't have to sweat that one anymore.
Nice.
Moving on to Kansas City at Texas. Lyles against DeGrom in this one. 8 total. Rangers a 275 favorite. We'll go Jordan Lyles first. I mean, Jordan Lyles, I don't think I want to play Jordan Lyles on this slate. Do you?
No, I do not want to play Jordan Lyles on this slate or probably many others.
I mean, Texas is beatable, right? Like, Texas lineup, there's a ton of strikeouts in this lineup. We're going to talk about it all year. We targeted them yesterday against Greinke. Lyles is not much better than Greinke, to be honest. At this point in their careers, like, they're probably really similar stat-wise and pitch-wise. So I think this is another spot where I think you're not playing Jordan Lyles, and you probably we're probably going to talk about some of these Texas bats. Going to the flip side, Jacob DeGrom, I hope you all listen to me. That's all I'm going to say. I laid it out. I said why you should go back to DeGrom. 11 strikeouts, 6 innings, 92 pitches. I mean, why are we not playing him against Kansas City would be my question. I think hands down top option on the slate today.
100% agree. I did listen to you last time. I almost took down a tournament with him. I finished third. I forget. I had a mini Houston stack. I forget who my main stack was. Not important, but yeah, 92 pitches in his last outing, 11 Ks. The pitch count is really all we care about. The matchup does not matter. As long as he is fully stretched out and going to get somewhere between 90 and 100 pitches, he has the highest upside on any slate that he's on. This is the best pitcher on the planet. I know he's dealt with injuries. He's been going through some things, like the control escaped him a little bit when he was trying to come back from injury. Still has the best raw stuff on the planet. 9,900 is way too cheap, especially against a weak offense like Kansas City. Like, completely agree. Otani is fantastic also, but DeGrom, even though he's a little bit more expensive, still my number one pitcher on the slate.
Uptick in velocity. Again, 98.8 on average on his fastball in that start against Baltimore. Like, injuries be damned. He looks fantastic. He got unlucky in his first start, and he pitched fantastic against Baltimore. Love this spot for DeGrom against Kansas City. This is one of those spots where, like, I'm not even going to hedge stack it. I have no interest in Kansas City bats here.
Me either.
Christian Walker home run. I almost wrote that up on Scores and Odds today. I was, like, very, very close to writing that up on Scores and Odds today.
I love him. I love the Arizona righties in general as, a three-man today. And Christian Walker is somebody I've talked up also on Crunch Time, if you're listening.
So, anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked. Anyway, we're moving on to the Texas bats. Like I said, I mean, Lyles has a little bit better strikeout rate than Greinke, but I mean, this might be a spot like we go back to the well in like a Texas secondary stack here. I don't know if I full stack them, and I said that yesterday, and they scored a gazillion runs, but like even scoring a bunch of runs, you know, only a few guys are really going to be difference makers in those games. I mean, I think they're a good secondary stack again today.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in this lineup. Lyles has a fly ball home run problem, so I'm very comfortable if you want to target power one-offs, if you want to target a mini stack, and I don't even hate three-man stacking them. I don't think this KC bullpen is very good. I love Seager in this spot. Nate Lowe, I think, is an outstanding play for a little bit cheaper. Jonah Heim is a cheap catching option. Hit a home run on Monday night. Think you can go right back there. Power lefties, I think, would be my first look, but I don't hate the full stack either, because you can get like a Josh Young in there who's got power and is cheap at third. Garcia hit a grand slam on Monday night, 4,800. Like, I don't mind the full stack. I think I'd probably use it more as a three-man or power one-offs, but I love the power upside here. I think there's potential for this to be a top stack too.
Corey Seager's 3K on FanDuel. I highlighted that on Lineup HQ yesterday. We talked about it on Grinders Live. Dean's like, why are you playing Seager? I'm like, why are you not playing Seager? You know, he was, I mean, and I get like Witt was really cheap. Like Bobby Witt Jr. was 3K. Profar was like 20. He's 2,800 again. So, I mean, I get why like those shortstops were cheap on FanDuel. But, I mean, I thought Seager was an excellent play at his price. And it worked out. It doesn't always work out, but it worked out today. That's it, man. I don't really have anything else to add on the Texas bats. I'm with you. I think I target the lefties. We're going to Coors. We got St. Louis at Colorado, 12 total. Rockies, no. Cardinals, 164 favorite. Miles Mikolas, Kyle Freeland. Miles Mikolas, 6,600. I know like the price is really, really low here. Miles Mikolas throws a lot of junk. You know, this is a guy that really kind of is his breaking ball and his command is like his biggest thing. But I mean, when you're throwing sinkers and curveballs 45-ish% of the time, you're not going to pitch well in Coors.
I agree. He's been struggling to start the year. The K's have been up, but he's been getting hit hard, which is like he's been a contact manager throughout his career, an absolute control artist. The control has still been there, but the K's have been up and the hard contact has been up. This is not a good spot for Miles Mikolas. I think it's like, I prefer targeting Colorado against lefties, but I don't know. Like, the breaking stuff is not going to be breaking at high altitude. So I'm very concerned. Definitely not playing him. Just trying to figure out what I want to do with Colorado.
I'm not playing Mikolas here. Like you said, he's been struggling. He got paid. I mean, he's extended. He's good. He's, you know, he's set for the rest of his life now. So, but yeah, I mean, the command being an issue for him and him not like hitting spots, like he's not walking people, but like, look at like some of the data and you can tell that like he's struggling with command. He's not getting like the ball down. He's leaving it up. And I mean, that's not what you want to do in Coors against anybody really. Kyle Freeland on the other side of this game. I mean, he's off to a really solid start to start the year, but I mean, you really don't want to play many lefties against St. Louis anyway. And you probably really don't want to play many lefties against them in Coors in 82 degree weather. So yeah, not playing Freeland today.
Yeah, me either. St. Louis is the chalk of the slate. There's no doubt about that.
Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras. I think those are the three guys you want to build around. They're also three of the most expensive guys on the team. Contreras, actually not that bad, 4,200. O'Neill, I would expect him back in the lineup here at 4,300. I know I read something like he didn't hustle on a play and they put him in the doghouse. Whatever, he's going to be back in the lineup here today. Yepes is 3K, Walker's 2,900. So we get some cheap value that likely going to be massive chalk. With that in mind, Keith, what are you thinking here for St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean, I need to build some lineups and figure out how, like, they're obviously they're going to grade out as the best plays on the slate. They're most of them are underpriced, I would say. Like, O'Neill, 4,300 in Coors Field should probably be 5K. Like, Goldschmidt should. Like, he's 5,600. That's a hefty price tag, but he's the best play on the slate, and it's not even close. He should be 6,100 probably. Arenado, same deal, should be 6K. These righties, Contreras should be 5K. Like, they're a little bit underpriced. They have the most upside on the slate. It's just going to be solely dependent upon ownership. I was way underweight on them on Monday night because I felt like Marquez was a pretty decent pitcher. And I preferred the spot for the Angels. I don't know that I have that kind of a pivot on this slate. St. Louis is going to be far and away the best rated stack, in my opinion. It's just, it depends on where the ownership number is. Like, I'm not going to completely fade them like I tried to do on Monday night.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry, nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
I'm going to have some just because them against a lefty, they were the best team in baseball against lefties last season, and they've only gotten better by adding Wilson Contreras at the catcher position and Jordan Walker as one of the best prospects in baseball in the outfield. Like, this lineup against lefties is dangerous. I don't know if I can fade them. I'm debating whether I want to go overweight their massive ownership or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because the matchup is fantastic. Me and Dean were talking about on Grinders Live. He thinks the Cardinals are going to be the best team in baseball against left-handed pitching. I think the Angels are going to be the best team in baseball against left-handed pitching. So, just a fun debate. Love the Cardinals. Ownership worries me, but the spot, like, even if this game wasn't in Coors, I would have a ton of interest in the Cardinals bats. The weather is going to be great in Coors too.
That's one of the, like, when deciding whether you want to fade Coors or not, like, you take that and put it in the other park. Like, if this game was in St. Louis, would I have interest in playing Cardinals bats against Kyle Freeland? Hell yeah, I would. Absolutely. So yep. That's a really tough fade when you put it into Coors Field.
I mean, looking at the other side of this game, Mikolas struggling. I mean, this Colorado lineup's not the best lineup in the world. I want to play Rockies because I think they'll be the lower-owned team here. But they're obviously not the best team in the world right now.
Agree. Derek asked in chat if it pains me to talk up the Cardinals. Yes, it's the worst thing in the world. And I've been talking them up and playing a ton of them, and I haven't made any money off of them. So the Cardinals owe me, Derek and Dave and all these Cardinals fans that we got in the chat here. Colorado bats, I think I'm interested in attacking Mikolas for the reasons that we talked. Like, Mikolas just hasn't looked right to begin the year. He's a junk ball pitcher. Like, I know the strikeouts have been there, but I don't think that stuff is going to generate the same amount of swings and misses. I haven't dug into the data. I assume that it's swings and misses and not called strikes. Like, that does matter for Coors, but the breaking balls just are not going to break his fall as far in altitude. It's just facts. It's science. So I have a ton of interest in Colorado here. Like, Cronin and Bryan are priced up. McMahon, I think, is underpriced at 4,800. Blackman at 4,700, I'm fine with that. Diaz has had a couple of good games in a row, 3,500, and Phil's catcher. Prefer Montero against a lefty, but if Moustakas is in there, I love him against Mikolas at 2,700. Like, anytime I can get a punt-type bat in Coors Field, I'm all about that, especially with one that has the power of Moustakas. I hope that I know the Cardinals are going to be chalk. I hope Colorado comes in a little bit lower-owned, and I can take an overweight stance on Colorado.
For what it's worth, really quick, too, to start the season, his swinging strike rate's at like 10.6%. Last season, 8.4%. I think that's going to be something that we see come down a little bit. So
I guarantee it won't be 10% in Coors Field.
Yeah, I guarantee it won't be 10% at the end of the season. I won't guarantee it, but I don't think it will be. How about that? Washington at LA taking on the Angels, 8 total. Otani against Gray. Otani, the Angels, 330 favorite here. Josiah Gray, I mean, he pitched really solid last time out in Coors. I don't know if I can get behind that, especially I really think the Angels lineup is sneaky good just in general. What are your thoughts on Josiah Gray?
There's talent there. We know the lefties are going to be a problem. We know that. But the Angels are honestly pretty right-handed heavy, especially while their first baseman Walsh is still on the IL. I think you can take shots. The price is pretty good. There are some strikeouts in the Angels lineup. I don't know how much I need it because I absolutely love 2-7K plays and I love 2-9K plays, including the other guy on the other side of this game. Not sure how much I get there, but I think he's in play. Like, if I need a super punt, Gray's the guy. Like, I think I can see past him having a solid outing here.
Yeah. My only issue is like walks. This is a very patient team. So Otani is still going to be in the lineup. You know, we can't play him hitting wise. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I can do it. There's some good options today. He's cheap, and I get that. I don't think I can do it. I can, on the other hand, though, definitely play Otani in this spot against one of the worst offenses in baseball. I know they got to Suarez. Luckily, like, I pivot off of Suarez to Elder for the most part yesterday. But, I mean, this is a spot I really think we want to play Otani.
Yeah, DeGrom's more underpriced.
Pitches last time out, dude. 111 pitches.
Yeah, if he's going to have that kind of leash, like, this is a guy that could put up some nasty, nasty numbers. And I don't know what the Angels' plans are with him. He's obviously a free agent at the end of the season. If they don't have plans to re-sign him, they could do this all season long and just let him go 110 pitches every time out and just try to make one last run. Like, the worst thing in baseball over the last couple of years is that we haven't seen Trout and Otani in the playoffs together because the Angels can't form a team around them. I think they've done a better job this year. We'll see. Otani against Washington is an absolute smash. I think he has a better matchup than DeGrom. I think DeGrom has slightly better stuff and slightly more strikeout upside, but I still absolutely love Otani. I will pay up for both of them as much as I can. But the two guys in the 7K range are both absolutely awesome plays also, which is why like guys like Gray on the other side of this game, not sure how much you need them on this slate. There are four pitchers that are pretty straightforward, amazing plays on this slate.
Yeah. Derek in chat says, I will definitely have DeGrom Otani lineup. Yes, you should.
Yeah.
If you're playing cash games, that's where you should start. And then, I mean, there's so much value on this slate, especially in cash games, that I think you have to legitimately consider playing both of these guys. And they're both under 10K on DraftKings. On FanDuel, Otani is 10.8, DeGrom is 10.6, Manoah is 9,900. So, like, Pablo Lopez is 96. Like, on FanDuel, I'm probably getting up to DeGrom or Otani as well. With the pricing on these other guys up there, I feel like I'm going to make it a point to pay up for pitching on FanDuel today.
It's crazy how the FanDuel game is, like, DraftKings has loosened their price on pitching, and FanDuel has tightened it. It's made it, like, a very different game. Like, DraftKings pricing on pitching is way too loose this year, and even last year it was too.
I like the tighter pricing for what it's worth.
Me too.
All right, bats, anything for Washington?
No, nothing for Washington. No interest in attacking Otani.
Yeah, I mean, the bat that I want to play against Gray is Otani, but we can't play him. I mean, I think you could take shots on Trout, Renfro. Renfro is just he hits for power. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a lefty or righty, he hits for power. What are your thoughts here on the Angels bets?
Yeah, I mean, I want lefties, and they don't have any power lefties outside of Otani, who, like you said, is pitching, and we can't play him as a hitter. Rengifo at 3,700, like, just take a minute and go to Fangraphs and look at Josiah Gray splits righties versus lefties. Like, he just gives up a massive amount of power to lefties. The problem is, like, Otani might hit two home runs here and we can't play him. Rengifo is 3,700. He's not a power hitter. Jake Lamb, 2,400. If he's in the lineup, I love him as a one-off. Like, absolutely. Like, Jake Lamb is probably hitting a home run today. I'm not stacking Angels. I think Josiah Gray has talent. I think he's much better against righties. Jake Lamb is the one-off is my call.
All right, fair enough. Milwaukee at Arizona. Burns and Kelly, 8.5 total. Burns, the Brewers, a 136 favorite. Any interest here in Burns?
If I knew Burns was right, this is a smash spot at 8,500 for him. It's been a really rough go, and this goes back to spring training. He was complaining about the pitch clock changes and the new rules. I'm very concerned about Corbin Burns. I don't know what to do. I think he's far more talented than the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I need to see it first. I think, especially on a slate when I have Otani and DeGrom underpriced and pitchers below him underpriced, I don't know what to do with Corbin Burns. Unless he's coming in like sub 5%, I don't see any reason to play him here.
Another guy that like his velocity is down enough where I'm concerned. You know, this is a guy that he throws his cutter a ton. Like he is a guy that goes out and throws his cutter. And like that's going to be like his main, like he doesn't throw a ton of like two or four seam fastballs. Like it's just going to be a lot of cutters and the velocity is down. I mean, like you said, he was complaining. He didn't have the best spring. Looking into how this team performs against cutters, this might be a get right spot for Corbin Burns at 8,500. Ketel Marte is like the only guy in this lineup that is really good against cutters, but I mean, there's been crazier things that you do with a guy at 8,500. So I think like you have to have some interest in Burns at this price point. Like his ceiling is way too high not to have interest in him.
Right. Would it surprise me if Corbin Burns struck out 12 guys today? Absolutely not. It would not surprise me. So I like to that point, if there's any guy on this slate that has the upside of Ohtani and DeGrom, it's absolutely Corbin Burns. He just hasn't had anywhere near the form of those two guys yet.
Yeah, it just doesn't look good. So yeah. We'll see if he can have it. Like I said, this might be like the get right spot. And like, to be fair, like he faced the Mets last time out. They're a pretty low strikeout team. Yep. I mean, there's no excuse that I have for him against the Cubs, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like it's not high BABIP. So, I mean, it's not like he's getting unlucky. His FIP against the Mets was like 10. He hasn't pitched well. I mean, the price is what is intriguing.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly on the other side of this game. I mean, his command is all over the place through his first couple starts this season. Not a typical big strikeout guy. Struggles with lefties. This lineup is very balanced, lefty-righty. Do you have any interest here in Merrill Kelly?
No, none. Find $200 and play Pablo Lopez. Find $600 and play Alec Manoah or drop down to Josiah Gray. I think there are three far better options. And just because of the high-end guys on the slate, like I don't think there's going to be a ton of ownership on these 7K guys. Even like there's going to be no ownership on Gray. So I would much rather play Gray than Kelly.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'd rather play the guy from the Cubs. I can't think of his name now, but
Wisniewski.
Yeah, I'd rather play him. Yeah. All right. Bats in this one. Roof expected to be open for what it's worth. And they said that it's supposed to be open for this whole series. It's going to be 95. It's going to be one of the best hitting conditions that we have on the slate. Any interest here in the Brewers bats?
Yeah, I think you have to. Like you said, the weather alone. Arizona plays much more hitter friendly when that roof is open. It's still 90 degrees as we're recording this at 11 Eastern on a Monday night. So it's going to be warm tomorrow. It's going to be the best hitting weather on the entire slate. Merrill Kelly is not a huge strikeout guy. I'm not a fan of the pricing here for the Brewers. Outside of guys like Jesse Winker and Rowdy Tellez, I think are the two that stand out. Garrett Mitchell's off to a scorching hot start.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like those cheap lefties, I think is my favorite way to play it. If you want to put in a Contreras at catcher or Yelich or Adames, I'm fine with that. Brian Anderson has been really good so far this year, but I think I prefer the lefties slightly. They're a little bit cheaper. Tellez, Winker, Mitchell. I love that three man.
I'll also throw out Bryce Terang as well. He's 2,700 second base. I always like finding cheap second baseman. So throw out Bryce Terang as well. He's someone that's off to a solid start. So, yeah, I mean, Winker not being in the lineup Monday was kind of interesting. And it, like Gallen, and they ended up rolling out like Luke Voit at the DH. So, I don't know, man. Like, you want Winker to hit. You know he can hit. It's just he's struggling a little bit, you know, dating back to last year. So, I think this is a really interesting spot. Mitchell, probably my favorite. Mitchell is, I think he is 2,900 is a great pivot off of some of those St. Louis cheap bats that are going to have way more like ownership. And I think that he has the same type of upside as some of those guys.
He has speed upside too, like super fast dude. Yep.
Yeah. Always like that. What are you doing here with Arizona?
Not touching them. I know Burns hasn't been right, but I don't see a way that they put up enough runs against Corbin Burns, and a really good bullpen is the other angle here. Like Milwaukee's known for their bullpen. I know they've had some turnover, but they're still really good, especially on the back end. I don't see Burns getting blown up. So, I mean, I don't even see maybe a Christian Walker one-off. I'd like Burns has that cutter, so he neutralizes lefties pretty well too. Corbin Carroll at 3,100. It'd be a power one-off at the absolute most, and probably not even that.
I want nothing to do. Looking at their numbers against cutters, I want nothing to do with this spot. I might, like I said, I might just roll out some Burns and hope that this is a get-right spot. All right, we got the Dodgers and the Giants to finish this off. 8 total. May against Wood. Dodgers 142 favorites. Any interest here in Dustin May?
On a different slate, I would say yes. I think there's a ton of talent here. Obviously, he dealt with this surgery that cost him a year. He's been right in the mid-80s on his pitch count, both his first two starts. I don't think that that's like a I'm not stretched out pitch count. That's like we're going to limit Dustin May to 85 pitches for the majority of the season pitch count, which is the problem here. It really limits his upside. I think he's an awesome pitcher. If I'm only getting 85 Dustin May pitches, how can I pay the same price for him as Shohei Ohtani? It's or like 700 up to Jacob DeGrom. That's the issue. I think May's a talented pitcher. I'm not scared of the matchup. It's just he doesn't have enough leash to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are one of the worst teams in baseball against left-handed pitching, but they've been one of the best teams in baseball against right-handed pitching. Dustin May has a 7.8% swinging strike rate through his first two starts against Arizona. And when we're kind of comparing that and looking at it, like Arizona is a team that strikes out at a pretty high clip. So not generating a lot of swinging strikes against them is kind of concerning. So I probably don't play Dustin May at this price point. I kind of just say I'm going to play the other two and be done with it. And then Wood on the other side of this game, I mean, struggled last time out against the White Sox, only threw 71 pitches, really just – again, another pitcher that struggled with command. I don't see a need to play him today. He's kind of in no man's land price-wise.
Yeah, I mean, priced above Manoah, priced above Pablo Lopez. I'm with you there. I'm not playing Wood.
All right, let's talk some bats. Any interest here in the Dodgers bats?
I mean, I'm not scared of Alex Wood necessarily. I think Mookie Betts at second base is like that's extremely intriguing on any slate. I don't necessarily love him. Like just the fact that he leads off for a really powerful offense and is eligible at second base and has speed upside and massive power upside is intriguing. I don't love spending all the way up to the 6K range on my one-offs though, and I'm probably not stacking against Wood. I can certainly hunt cheap home runs. Trace Thompson is the guy that jumps off the page at 2,900. He probably bats somewhere in the middle of the order. Dude was awesome against lefties last year, off to a really good start this year. So I love Trace Thompson. Will Smith fills a catcher position, but super expensive. JD Martinez against a lefty has been a thing for 15 years or so. Chris Taylor, like there's plays on the Dodgers here. I guess I've talked myself into a three-man. I was going to say one-offs, but I think of those, like Trace Thompson is the one that really makes me want to get exposure here. I think you can go Thompson, Taylor, Martinez, or Smith and have a really affordable three-man. So I don't want a full stack against Wood. I think he's a decent enough pitcher, but he can certainly give up some damage. And I know I want to play some Trace Thompson. He's just a little too cheap.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think that my favorite kind of three-man here might be like a Mookie Betts, Taylor, Thompson.
Yeah.
Thompson and Taylor, Betts. The thing that I like about it is like you can play Mookie at second base now.
That's awesome.
So like the flexibility for that three man is massive. Like, you could play Taylor at third or shortstop, and Mookie at second or outfield. So, like, when you're like building a lineup out, I feel like it's going to be a nice little three man kind of filler type of thing, because you have so much position eligibility there. The Giants bats, I mean, the Giants have really not been that bad against, like I said, they've been crushing right-handed pitching to start the year. And we've seen Dustin May miss very few bats with his swinging strikes. 84% contact rate. Sneaky stack? I don't think anybody's playing the Giants today.
Nobody's playing them, cheap, I don't think.
Too. Yeah, they're really cheap.
You could certainly talk me into a Conforto at 3,700. You could talk me into Yaz at 4K. We know Jock has massive power.
Revenge.
Yeah. And revenge.
Cause it matters so much.
Yeah. Especially in baseball, right? He's going to swing twice as hard. No. I don't have a ton of interest still. I respect May as a pitcher. I think he's, like, the injuries have obviously set him back, but I still think there's a ton of talent there. He's going to get better with every start. But, yeah, there are some power lefties that intrigue me in that 3K range. Conforto, Wade, and Yaz, or, like, even Jock at 47, totally fine. I probably don't play more than one of them, though. I'm just looking for a home run.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it's a two-game sample size, but, like, looking at the advanced stats for May's first two starts, like, he's gotten really lucky not to get blown up in both of those starts. 62% hard hits to lefties in those two starts. I mean, just a guy that I feel like this might be one of those spots where, like, nobody is talking about it, and it really just ends up working out. I don't know if I full stack it. I don't know if I end up on it at the end of the day. I mean, I don't know, man. Looking at some of these numbers too, like, they crush cutter sinker combos. Like, I don't know. I think, like, looking at all the advanced stats, I might actually have some interest in the Giants today. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. YouTube chat, feel free to play along here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
There are a couple of smash options. I think I'm going with how Pablo Lopez has looked this season. White Sox lineup dealing with a couple of injuries, which are big deals. And Pablo has been absolutely awesome. So 7,300 for Pablo Lopez, way too cheap.
Yeah, I'm going to go Alek Manoah.
Yeah.
It's the Tigers.
That's the other
smash. I got nothing else. Over 8K to score, under 15. Who's your bust today?
So I think the injuries in Minnesota are less likely to make this happen. I don't think I'm playing him on the slate anyway, so I'll stick with him. But looking at that Minnesota lineup, I'm not as concerned as I was coming in. Lance Lynn, 9K, I'm not getting there. I think he probably gets over 15 in this spot just because of the lineup, but it's more like 16 to 18 where there are guys that have 30-plus upside in that range.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what this lineup looks like. Like, my initial thought was I don't love Lance Lynn, but, like, looking at what this lineup could potentially be, I don't know, it might be interesting. I'm going to go Dustin May. Advanced stats tell me I should like the Giants here, so I'm going to trust in some stats. Kyle Wright, probably the answer here.
Yeah, first start of the year, though, coming off the IL, I figured he was off the board.
Yeah. All right, hitter over 4K to hit a home run, not in Coors. Who do you got going yard today?
I like Corey Seager to do it on back-to-back nights. Love the matchup against Lyles for Seager.
Really cheap on FanDuel. I like that. I like that call. I think that's a fantastic call. I'm going to go off the board today, and, like, this might be like a 3% owned guy today, but give me Patrick Wisdom. Really like this spot for him, like, quietly having a good year. And if the wind is blowing out, like, no one's paying 5K for Patrick Wisdom today. Definitely going to take some tournament shots on him.
Love it.
Under 4K to get two hits, not in Coors. Who do you got today?
I'm going to stick with this Texas stack, and it's going to seem like I love this Texas stack. I'm not saying that I love Texas necessarily. I just, like, I really love the lefties, and if I can make enough of them work. If Josh Smith grabs a start, he's 2,300. just a decent prospect, has been making a lot of contact this year. I like him to get two hits for 2,200. Eligible at outfield and shortstop on DK.
Nice. I'm going to kind of stay in the same game. I'm going to go Jared Kelenic. Kelenic is 3K, and I think the Mariners are kind of, I think they're somewhat sneaky here. Man, I really hope the weather is not a thing here.
It's an interesting game even without the weather, right? If the wind's blowing out 20 miles an hour, then everyone's just going to play the hitters. So I completely agree with you. Like, I love Wisniewski, obviously, as a Cubs fan. I don't know that I play him on this slate, but if the wind's not too bad, maybe you can get, like, the pivots. Like, Pablo and Manoah are going to be extremely high owned. That pivot to Wisniewski, he's going to be, like, less than 5 for sure.
My initial one was Garrett Mitchell, but someone in chat said it before I could talk about it, so I didn't want to say it.
Love the Mitchell
call. Give me a stack to score 6 or more runs today.
I mean, if Seager's going yard and Smith is getting 2 hits, Texas is probably putting up 6 runs, so I'm just going to stick there. I don't think Lyles is like a gas can by any means. I think Texas sets up pretty well against Jordan Lyles.
Fair enough. It feels weird saying this, but I don't think Atlanta is going to be that popular today. So give me the Atlanta Braves. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Speaking of Atlanta, Kyle Wright, I'm looking at that K prop. I haven't checked since we've been on the podcast, but if you can get Kyle Wright's Ks, he had 6 Ks and 84 pitches in his last rehab start. I think the books might be underestimating that. Cincinnati is striking out a ton this year. We just saw Bryce Elder absolutely mow him down. If that opens at like 3.5, I'd hammer it. Even at 4.5, I think I'm over 4.5 Kyle Wright case.
All right. This has the potential of being such a fun slate. It really does. Yep. Lot of different ways to build, a lot of pitching options, a lot of stacks. This has the makings of a really good slate. So, hope everyone has a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.